We're looking today at Colossians 3, 12 through 14, and the obvious question in that context is, who in here is in ministry? Who in here is in ministry? We've been asked that a few times before. Just want to take a very brief time. Can anyone share a time, a situation that this body has ministered to you, has extended grace to you? Carly.
A couple years ago when I had to have surgery, double surgery, the day after Christmas. And so many ladies just swooped in. I mean, I barely walk afterwards without, holding everything together, and was in so much pain, and people played with my kids and did my laundry and mopped my floors and brought us food, and I didn't have to worry at all during that time. I was able to just, I got sent to bed. In fact, Linda sent me to bed.
I think so many times that people have prayed for me, but with me also. Which praying for somebody just right there together in person is a very special way to minister. Yep.
I will say that in the many years we've been here, that my church family has often been more.
Yep. Yep. Sometimes our church family is more of a family than our biological family or our in-law family, whatever. Yep.
Okay. Many of you on
the Yes. Yes, it is. Just being welcomed here. Yes. Yep. It really is a blessing. Okay, let's watch the video. Are we ready?
And I want to actually answer the question, what does it look like for you to be a woman who helps women? What does that mean? I am very afraid that we throw these things around and we get a sip to them, but we really don't understand where the rubber meets the road, what it actually looks like. What does that lifestyle actually mean? And I want you to turn your Bibles to Colossians 3, beginning with verse 12. This is a passage that comes across as being incredibly radical, a radical passage to us. But if we were to study our way through Colossians and you get to these verses, there's no prediction by Paul that he's about to say something radical. He doesn't say, okay, people, take a deep breath. This is crazy radical stuff, because it wasn't intended to be radical. It's radical to us because of how far we have moved away from the lifestyle that's in this passage. Does that make sense? And so we've drifted so far, I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ, from the norm that's in this passage, that the norm of this passage seems incredibly radical. So having said that, fasten your seatbelts and put on your crash helmets. Here we go. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and as one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonish one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in the hearts of God. Whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's look at the first two verses. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and one has to complain against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Now, why that list of character qualities? Notice the passage is written to every believer. This is God's plan for 10 out of 10 people in this room. No exceptions. There is no one who has been given God's grace who was intended by God just to be a recipient of grace. No one. Is that loud enough? No one. The Church of Jesus Christ is shockingly passive. Shockingly. The studies say that 80% of the monies that are contributed to Christ's church are contributed by 20% of the people. There was a study not too long ago that actually proposed that evangelical churches, 10% of regular attenders, have never put a penny in the plate. I don't care what size your church is. If it's a church of 50 or 5,000, you will never hire enough ministry professionals to cover all the spiritual needs of any given week, of any time in the life of that church. It won't happen. So this is God's total involvement paradigm. That's what it is. All of God's people are called to this. And we have to stop the drift. It's hurting us. We're not, the church is not meant to be a place where you can find ministry. The church is meant to be itself an organic ministry community. There's a huge difference. You can feel my passion. Really, I give my life to proclaiming this message. Now, why do you care to call this? Why did Paul come up with this list? Where did he get this list? You can talk, it's legal. Where did he get this list? Well, the fruits of the Spirit, well, where'd that come from? It's the character of Christ. Now, once you say that, you know your position in the work of God. Literally, using the example of clothing, Paul is saying, put on Christ. You carry Christ to one another. It makes me weak in my knees when I say it. Bring Christ to one another. Yes, it is true. Jesus is the answer. What he's saying is, all of us, every person, has been called and positioned by God to be his ambassadors. Everyone in this room has been called to be an ambassador of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What is the only thing an ambassador ever does? Represent. This is amazing to me. The invisible king intends to make himself visible through his people who carry his presence to one another. How amazing is that? It boggles my mind when I say it. The invisible grace of God is meant to be made visible as people who have received that grace now carry that grace to one another. Welcome to your employment. I'm serious. Every day, you are called to be the look on the face of Jesus, to be the tone of his voice, to be the touch of his hand, to be his gentleness, his patience, his forgiveness, and his love. People need to see Jesus. 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 Because what happens is my sin looms large in front of in front of me and it defeats me. The problems of life get me down and they cloud my vision of the one who is my hope. I need you to carry Jesus to me. I need it all the time. I need it. Because no one this side of eternity is a grace graduate. I need people in my life who are the voice of Jesus, who are to be the love of Jesus, who are the hand of Jesus. That's what I need. I would just like to say to you, you have no ability at all to do what I just described. None. You just don't have any ability. Don't say, yeah. I'm going to do that. Because you'll be one scary Jesus. If you think you can do this, you won't be reflecting Jesus. You'll be reflecting something. But it won't be Jesus. You see, people of grace who intend to carry grace will be driven to the throne of grace in order to give that grace. That's what it is. People of grace who have been given grace will be driven to the throne of grace in order to be able to carry that grace to one another. You can't do it. The CD.
People are trying to write down that sentence.
People of grace. Did you get that? I've given you grace right now. Who intend to carry that grace will be given. We'll be driven to the throne of grace in order to be able to give that grace to others. Now this brings us to this point. There's really only two ways of living. There really is. You live as owner of your life, or you live as an ambassador. And this just blows apart our normal conceptions of ministry. Here's our normal formalistic view of ministry. I own my little life, and I step out of my life as an act of submission to God, and I give him a little piece of my life, hero that I am, for an episode, short-term mission. I went to Africa and built stuff. Shared the gospel today. And so you give God an episode of your life, and then you step back out of ministry back into your life. That's not a biblical view of ministry. Hold on to your seats. Your life is ministry. Every dimension of your life. Every dimension of human life is a forum for ministry. Now, you have to ask yourself the question right now. If we would watch the video of your existence, would we see an owner or an ambassador? Oh, I find that so convenient. I would like to think of myself as an ambassador. I told you that my family would take these vacations to the Jersey Shore. And we still gather as a family every summer for a week. I have four children and three boys. They're all married. My daughter, Nicole, is not married. And we're a foodie family. And we cook for one another. And it really is amazing the food we eat. My contribution that week, because I like to make things that our kids remember that I would make for them because I love to cook, is the world's best cinnamon rolls. No, there is no competition. These are the best. These are an edible glory. I don't know about you, but I love how much of the glory of God in creation is edible. I just do. And I know what's going to happen. I will get up earlier before anyone else, and I will make the rolls, and I'll put them in the oven, and that gorgeous smell will start wafting down the hallway. And my children will begin to rise out of their beds and say, my life is worth living. Paul Tripp is my father. And he makes rolls. I know what's going to happen. It's predictable. The angels sing. And so I've made the rolls, they're in the oven, and I'm now positioned myself in a chair that sort of can look down the hallways. Because I'm ready for the worship that's going to come. My oldest son, Justin, comes down the hallway, and I'm getting ready for him to kneel. And he says these words to me. Dad, do you mind if I make something else for breakfast? I'm having trouble even processing the words at that point. I want to say, of course I mind. What are you talking about? And then he says this. My wife, interloper that she is in this family, doesn't like to eat things so sweet for breakfast. Some people just can't recognize glory. And he says, so I'd like to make her some eggs. 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 Scrambled eggs. Beaten apart former embryos. Now, I would like that not to bother me, but it does. I'm mad. I'm personally offended. And when the rolls are done, we're sitting at breakfast, she positions herself right in front of that pile of glory. You know, most people don't think you can actually hear the sound of people eating scrambled eggs, but I could. It sounded like this to me. I can't believe it. And I just know she's will break down and she'll just pull a piece of one of those rolls off and say, oh, Father-in-law, I was wrong. You are right. I curse my eggs. I run to your rolls. But she doesn't. Now you get the point? That's all about me. It's all about my glory. It's all about what I want. It's all about me being the sinner. It's all about me being right. It's all about me having control. It's fundamental, scary, anti-gospel me-ism. I am so busy loving me, I have no time to love Jesus or to reflect the love of Jesus to the life of those people. Listen, you know that she's wrong. And so as you accept your ambassador calling, you say, Jesus, I have no ability to do this. But I am not alone. You literally unzipped me and got inside of me by your Spirit, all by the power of the Spirit. In some way, today, help me to be your ambassador. And that's a beautiful thing, because hear this, no one then gives grace better than a person who's deeply persuaded they need it themselves. It's that accepting the grandeur of this calling that drives you to the throne of grace, that makes you thankful for grace and desires to give grace to someone else.
I don't think we'll think about or smell cinnamon rolls in the same way again, will we? If we have our Bibles open to Colossians 3, in that first verse, verse 12, in some translations it says, therefore, we always think about why is the therefore there, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. So Paul is thinking about the Colossians and thinking about their position, where they are now compared to where they have been, which he's just been talking about in the previous paragraphs. But I was thinking about our position to extend grace to others because we have been given grace. And I was thinking about this little household item, which we all know is a coaster. When our son Marcus was little, he did not know the word coaster. And so he saw this, the position of it, the function, the purpose. And in his toddler brain, the name he came up with was a coffee seat. and so that's what he called it, because that's what he understood it to be, its function. And so here, Paul is calling the Colossians and us chosen ones, holy and beloved. So why would we not extend what we have been given, the love of God, his grace, to others? So how can our demeanor reflect our unique status? How can our tone of voice do that? How can our body language do that? That's something to think about. Anybody have a comment about that? Like somebody said here earlier, when you come here and you get a smile when you walk in the door, it just means so very much. How can we help each other remember the grace that we've been extended? How can we do that practically? Somebody's going through a difficult time and things just look real hopeless. What can we say? What can we do to help them remember God's grace? Yes.
First thing is pray.
Yes. Pray.
That we will know what to say or not say.
Sometimes when we pray about something that's a very uncomfortable situation, just that when we pray, our words are focusing back on who He is, which is where we start when we're facing difficulty or sadness or tragedy, whatever it might be. Verse 13 goes on, the last part of 12 and 13 goes on to say, what we put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Those are words we throw around, but it's not so easy to live them out. One commentator said, verse 13 goes from grave clothes, what he's been talking about when people were living in their sin, now to grace clothes. So that's what we are to put on. Put on what is available. He mentions this when he's talking about putting on spiritual armor. So these are God's gifts to us, but it's our responsibility and privilege to put those things on and deliberately use them and wear them. One of our review questions is, after receiving the gift of salvation, what is every believer called to be? What are your thoughts about that? I know we just heard an excellent talk, but what else can you think of in your own words? What are we called to be?
Ambassadors?
Ambassadors, yes. Reflectors. Mm-hmm. That we can see that picture of how things are reflected. Yeah. We're called to be present to help people when they need that help. Some of you mentioned that and how you've been ministered to, just people showing up and being there. So what can we do each day to be properly clothed, to put on what Paul is asking us to put on, to be mindful and consciously do it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, spending time with him. And surrender. Because
mm-hmm.
we may not want to live out all those words in these three verses. Yep.
Die to self.
Die to self, yes. To abide in him. Mm-hmm. I found the older I get and my memory is not as good as it used to be, I have to really think about the people in my life. What are they going through today? What have they told me is happening, and pray for them. And then if something happens and I see them or I get a call or whatever, I'm ready to ask and hopefully be helpful. The big thing in verse 13 is about forgiveness. That is, it's such a gift to know that we are forgiven by God, but it is so difficult to extend that to other people. But that is evidence of God's transforming grace when we are willing to forgive someone else. Warren Wiersbe said it's not just enduring provocation and refusing to retaliate. It's really extending grace and showing love to someone. I was talking with a friend this week, and I knew she was having some difficulty in her family, but I didn't realize the extent of it. It was a lot worse than what I thought. And just later on, I just thought, you know, really at the bottom of this is everybody needs to be forgiving. I mean, there's some disagreements, but it seems like they arose out of not being willing to budge, just not being forgiven. Being forgiving. So where is forgiveness required in your life? Where is it required in my life? And we probably all have something, someone that we have not yet fully forgiven. And what heart work would be necessary to do that? Like we talked about prayer, being very conscious of the feelings of others and dwelling in Christ and abiding in his word.
When people are going through something hard, they're not at their best. And
yeah.
So we have to remember that.
Yes.
They're going to say things.
When people are going through something hard, they are not at their best. Yeah, we have to keep that in mind. Yep. You know, we are the most like God when we forgive others. It's the essence of who he is. In our book on page 22, there was a chart that you could fill out just assessing relationships. How can I be an ambassador? I encourage you to look at that. That's something between you and the Lord to think through that. And I loved what he said about the Holy Spirit has unzipped us and invaded our lives in a good sense to give us the Holy Spirit and to enable us to live for a bigger kingdom. That's a great blessing. And then He ends up by talking about unity, being bound together in harmony. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if our world was that way today? Any other thoughts here? What did you like about the video? What'd you write down?
I tried to, too.
Let's see. People who have been given grace, who intend to carry grace to others, will be driven to the throne of grace to give that grace to others. That's a long sentence. I love when he talked about the comparison of being owner of my life and being an ambassador for him. I think we can all identify with that.
Also how he said giving God an episode of your life. I think a lot of us have grown up and like we come to church, we do the church thing, we do a missions trip, that we dichotomize our life. And it was good for him how he said it for us to think about when we say we're all in ministry, that it's all the time.
Yes. Today I'm going to do so-and-so, so I'm going to be ministering.
Right.
It's one event, yeah.
But my life is a ministry.
Yep.
Are you an owner or an ambassador of your life?
Yep. All right, any other thoughts? If not, we'll close in prayer and we'll be out of the way before people start making noise out there. Linda.
Every morning, Hal will say to me, I've just gotten up. What are your plans for today? And sometimes I have plans, sometimes I don't. But I can see, you know, when you've got a plan, I need to accomplish this and this. Sometimes that, you hold on to those too tight.
Oh,
great. You need to hold
yes.
them loosely.
Yes.
Yes.
Sometimes we have to put our plans aside if
yes.
something comes up. If we see a need, yeah.
Be willing
good
for
point.
God. Be willing for God to interrupt our lives.
Yep.
It's not always easy.
Because we want to be in control of our time too. Elizabeth.
He was reading the scriptures.
And that's next week's lesson.
Yeah.
So is it, are interruptions really interruptions?
Right.
It's opportunities to show grace to others.
I actually have that framed on my mantle. The actual quote I framed on the mantle in our living room because I'm very type A and I like my plans and I have an order about doing things. And so I need that reminder. This is not an interruption. This is not derailing what I had intended this one to happen.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, let's close in prayer. Lord, we need your help. We do want to be unzipped and have you invade our lives, our hearts, our speech, our body language, our facial expressions, our minds as we look around us and seek to see the needs of others and then seek to minister to them and meet those needs with your help. Lord, we do thank you for our unique position, being chosen and dearly loved and also called. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, ladies.